Hello, this is Al Corlin. Thank you very much for listening. I am chatting right now with two good friends of mine, Jay Taylor, who is a well-known commodity, so to speak, on this program, and Congressman Ron Paul, who represents the 14th District in Texas. Congressman, thank you very much for joining us. And Jay, I appreciate your time also.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Congressman Paul, some pretty interesting things going on in your life right now. You were involved in a press conference, I know, this morning, having to do with the situation in Iraq, which I know that you're not behind 100%, as none of us are. But there's some more important news coming out of your camp. Could you share that with Jay and I and our listeners?
Well, last week, some information got out of some plans we were making to file papers for an exploratory committee to run for the Republican nomination for president. And that information got on the internet. It was a little bit preliminary, but I was amazed how quickly it spread. But within a few weeks, we will have an official press conference and announcement that we have opened up that committee.
Jay, I've got a question for you. You introduced me to the congressman 3 or 4 years ago, and I certainly appreciate you doing that. But you and I were talking earlier, and you brought up some issues to me that I would like you to share with the congressman regarding why he is doing what he's doing, or questions, I guess I should say, as to why he's taking this direction.
Yeah, certainly, Congressman Paul. Very pleased to talk with you again. I recall in interviewing you a few years ago, I questioned how you could stand up to the opposition from both parties, consistently standing for your views and your principles, and wondered if it wasn't a little bit demoralizing to do so on a constant basis. And you said something to the effect that you saw the possibilities of making incremental gains along the way, as the socialists have done over the years, and that your role was one of education, of helping people to understand, the roots or the actual constitution that we have that's supposed to govern us, and understanding something about sound economic, sound monetary policy, and so forth. The incremental gains certainly have been made, I believe, smaller than we would like, but certainly it's very encouraging, I think, and I was very excited to see you run, throw in your hat as a candidate for president. But certainly most people are saying Ron Paul who, for the most part, I think, except those of us who have followed you and agree and are libertarians at heart know who you are. So I'm wondering: is your desire to run for president is really to win this thing, or for incremental progress along the way?
Well, the desire is to win, and yet you still have to be realistic. I am very interested in education, and I'm involved very much in it. But I also see what I do similar to what the founders did, in the sense that they were very well educated, and they worked very hard, and they believed in it. But eventually, education has to be translated into political action. And in the 70s, when I first ran for Congress, I thought it would be purely educational. I would run and get my views out, and never thought for a minute that I would be elected. So I've been elected 10 times now, so I was able to take these views and make them popular and win elected office. So I think there's room for both. I think education long-term and for a country is the most important, to have the correct views. But there are some of my libertarian friends who would say, yes, but politics stinks. I would never get near it. I don't vote. And, to each his own. If they don't want to participate, fine. But ultimately, you have to be a political activist if you believe that change should come, because otherwise you just leave it to other people to pick up the pieces. So, and I'm optimistic about what's happening in the country. The numbers of people who support our views now are so much greater than they were 30 years ago. And with this internet, who knows? I have no idea what the support is. All I've known is so far in the last week is that it's much broader and stronger than I ever dreamed of, when we think of the thousands and thousands of inquiries that we have already received.
Well, I was amazed to see an article about you and your candidacy on Netscape this afternoon, and I think the caption was something like Hillary's worst nightmare,
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
So who knows? I mean, I can recall when Jimmy Carter was, nobody knew who he was, virtually unknown, and rose from nowhere. That was following the Watergate problem. And I think when there's a certain level of discontent in the nation, as I believe and sense there is now, both on the international and domestic fronts, that maybe there is a possibility this could go a long way.
Yeah, I think there is, and I think the numbers out there, people who are sick and tired of what they're getting, are strong enough that we can have a real impact and be very competitive. But then when you talk about dollar-wise, that's a different story, because those individuals and groups and companies that have a special interest, you know, the military-industrial complex and other organizations, the Halliburtons of the world who makes money off, whether it's a war or whether it's floods and hurricanes, this is high-stakes politics for them. So that is the real challenge. Can the technology of the Internet compensate for the power that the people have when they have hundreds of millions of dollars up against you?
You know, Congressman, I think it's interesting that Barack Obama, who threw his hat in the ring 2 days ago, made his, as opposed to making his announcement on conventional TV, for lack of better terms, he made his announcement on the Internet, and the consensus of the reason, I guess I should say, behind his doing that was that he wanted to separate himself from the maddening crowd, so to speak, and show that he was very, very progressive, et cetera, in his views. Now, you know, Jay and I have been talking for a long time, and I've been talking for a long time on this show, probably the past 4 or 5 years, that 2008 is going to be an incredibly important election for the United States of America. And the reason I say that is because we have had politics as usual for a long time now, and in my view, politics as usual has really gotten us into trouble. I would just point to two examples. One is what I believe is the accurate state of the U.S. economy, and then secondly, I have some very, very deep concerns about what's going on in the Middle East right now and the role that we're playing there. Now, 2008 so far is shaping up to be politics as usual. You've got Mrs. Clinton doing what everyone expects her to do on the Republican side. You've got John McCain, Mitt Romney, both of whom are going to probably do what everybody expects them to do. Back on the Democratic side, you've got John Edwards, you've got Al Gore. You know, it's basically more of the same. Same philosophies, same types of players. What I find really refreshing about what you are doing is, when I was talking with your office last week, you know, they stressed that this is a campaign that will only succeed if it's truly successful, grassroots. And, you know, I find that to be both refreshing and also very, very exciting. Any comments on that?
Well, of course, that's what we have to depend on. And so far, we've been encouraged, not discouraged. And that would be revolutionary. Somebody on the Internet wrote that this is not a contest between Ron Paul and Hillary Clinton as much as it's a real challenge between the people who get their information off the Internet in a quiet sort of way versus the major networks. And that's probably a true statement, too, that we live in a new and a modern age, and nobody has truly measured this. They got around the edges. I think Howard Dean got around the edges, 2 years ago, and did pretty well until he ran into some problems. So, but the technology continues to improve, and the ability to reach millions of people at a very low cost, it's very intriguing.
Well, I have to say that Howard Dean used the Internet very, very effectively, and I think Howard Dean ultimately would have been quite successful had he been able to keep his emotions under control, for lack of better terms. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're very, with your background and your personality, that's something that comes very, very naturally to you. Well, Jay, what do you think about all this? We got some fun times on our hands, huh?
I think it's exciting, and I would also like to ask the congressman about something I learned about in talking to one of his staff members earlier today, that I understand, Congressman, that you are leading a subcommittee as the minority leader.
Yeah, that's called the ranking member on the Republican side. It's something that has been denied me over the years because I haven't towed the line quite firmly enough and supported the president on some of these issues that I just flat out disagreed with him on. So I got the subcommittee, the ranking membership on a subcommittee that's most interesting to me, and that's domestic and international monetary policy, you know, how interested I've been in monetary policy in the Federal Reserve. And it gives me an edge. It gives me even more time when Bernanke comes before the committee. So I get kidded a whole lot about it from my colleagues in that they look at me and they say, here's a crazy guy who still believes that there's something to say about the gold standard and a few things like that. But someday they're going to have to defend themselves in the paper standard. So I'm excited about that. I'd be quite pleased just with working real hard on that, but I'll continue to do that, and I hope we get a better discussion on monetary policy.
Oh, that was certainly it. Certainly will be helped if you have some ability to ask more questions and to raise some more issues. Congressman Paul, my mother, 83-year-old mother, happened to see you sometime on television. And she is not very educated. She's had a sophomore in high school education. She had to drop out during the Depression to help, tend the matters on the farm. And when she saw you talk about, I think it was Iraq or something, I told her, well, I know who Ron Paul is. I know him. She says, oh, you do? And I said, yeah, I know him pretty well. And she said, well, you know what? He's the only guy that's made any sense to me. And I think that there's something very... very logical about, Austrian economics, the Constitution, and somehow these sort of very basic values that we were taught, at least I was in the 50s in Ohio when I grew up,
right.
about basic values of what this country believed and what the Founding Fathers gave to us has somehow it's not even being taught to the kids in school anymore.
I think this is where we have the advantage. I don't paint myself as the greatest communicator in the world, and I know my limitations, but boy, I am very confident about the message. We have a powerful message. I always chide the people I talk to on my speeches is, why do we lose? It's something wrong with us. We lose. We have such a powerful message. It's a philosophy based on moral conviction and rule of law. It's the greatest economic system. It provides for limited government and a sensible foreign policy. I said, we should be winning this thing. So that's where my convictions are, and I always figure that if I do well, it'll be because the message more powerful and makes up for my shortcomings.
I remember Ann Williamson. You may know her. Ann Williamson was a journalist with the Wall Street Journal at one time and was assigned to Russia during perestroika days. And Ann said all of a sudden she had to start learning economics, and she didn't really have any economics background. She tried to struggle through Keynes and all the modern stuff. Mm-hmm. And then she started reading Austrian economics, and it made so much sense to her that she grabbed right onto it. She understood it. And I believe that if those basic things are taught to people, they can pick up on it and will start to get excited about it again. So I am really excited that you're running.
Well,
you've thrown your hat in the ring, and you can certainly be sure that here's one person that will do everything I can within my limits to help.
Appreciate
you.
That. The those who like to grasp onto Keynesianism are the people who truly believe in big government. So it's very convenient for them to believe in a paper standard and Keynesian economics because it's the excuse, it's their ability to do it. And those who want limited government have to eventually accept the notion that you can't create money out of thin air, because it's very convenient for big government conservatives and big government liberals to get together and support the current monetary system. At the same time, they get what they want in expanding the size of government.
They certainly do. And it raises the question, though, as to why Austrian economics have not been given much of a hearing in our educational system, but I suppose that's a topic for another day.
Right.
We are very, very excited, Congressman Paul, about being able to have you use our website as one of the many informational forums that you have. We're going to post the Ron Form Freedom Principles certainly on this website. As the weeks evolve into the future, we will be talking with Congressman Paul as often as time permits on his end, and we will have all of the information as to his campaign and exactly what he is doing in Washington, D.C. available on the website. Congressman Paul, thank you so much for joining Jay and I. We appreciate it, and we're looking forward to talking with you again very, very soon.
Thank you very much. Good
all
to be
best.
With you.